Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to The Shit Show. Kia ora, everyone. Welcome back to The Shit Show.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
We've got a really cool episode today about something kind of niche.
Yeah, Luce and I were having a discussion, as we do, and we were like, fuck, this would make a good podcast. Let's talk about it. So today's topic is snobbery.
And snobs. And honestly, I cannot use the word snobs more than twice without it losing all meaning.
It's a very, like, strange word.
Yes. Fun fact. One of our followers messaged us saying that this phenomenon when words lose all meaning is called semantic satiation. And I get that with snobs.
Snobs.
Anyway, snobs. We're all snobs, and we all know snobs.
Exactly. I don't think anyone's above snobs.
No, even though, to get real meta, snobs would think that they're above snobs because that's the whole point of snobbery.
Honest to God, yes.
Before we get too far into it, Liv, please, will you give us a definition of what snobbery is?
Okay, so the definition of a snob is, the first one, a person with an exaggerated respect for high social position or wealth who seeks to associate with social superiors and looks down on those regarded as socially inferior.
Okay.
Which I don't think is really the snob we're going to talk about today so much.
I think when we're talking about how me and you are snobby, we're not snobby in terms of how we look down on other people. We don't do that. But that is certainly a type of snob that you'll come to meet.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, maybe there is a bit of subconscious snobbiness in
there
all of us.
There probably is. Got to call ourselves out.
Exactly. But the second definition of a snob is a person who believes that their tastes in a particular area are superior to those of other people.
Now that is where we kind of relate. I think, so that you guys know that we are relatable, we should tell you all what we're snobs about.
Oh my God, okay. I think I used to be a definite music snob.
Yes. Preach that to the choir.
Fucking preach it. Oh my God, like, I just covered my mouth as a podcaster.
I saw that. I was like, Liv, we kind of have to be unmuffled.
Yeah. Anyway, so I've really tried to work on my snobbiness. I think,
fight the snob.
We're going to go into like the psychological reasons as to why we're snobs or other people you may know as snobs. But yeah, definitely music taste. I would say social media, like TikTok.
Oh, yes.
I'm a TikTok snob.
Liv, you are.
I know.
And again, it's another thing you've been fighting, kind of trying to fight snobbiness. Because we are a social media platform. We're a company built on social media. And you're snobby towards social media.
I know. It's really, really interesting. What the hell?
It's pretty complex. I mean, the thing is that people are also snobby towards us, despite any of the work we might be doing and helping people at least get a starting point to understanding things. They'll be like, I'm discrediting them because they are a social media platform.
100%. We often refer to ourselves as a media platform rather than like an Instagram account, because as soon as I tell people like, oh yeah, like I co-run an Instagram account, they're just like, oh yeah, like.
Yeah, I know. Like people just have this snobbery against
real
us.
Real fucking snobbery. And it's like, bro, take social media seriously because it's literally infiltrating everyone's minds.
It's running your life. It's fucking up your life. But if we take it and we use it for good, like we do, then you're stupid for really underestimating the power of it.
Yeah.
No one likes a snob.
Oh, everyone hates a snob. I hate it when I come across a snobby, and I've really tried to stop because it's a horrible trait.
It is, and it's so ironic because being a snob, by definition, is trying to prove that you're better than someone.
Exactly.
But if no one likes you when you're a snob, then how can you even think that you're going to be better than someone? How does that even work?
I know. Layers upon layers.
Upon layers.
Oh, what else am I snobby about? art. People used to have these prints in their rooms and they were really basic because I paint and then I just see like that would have taken them 10 minutes on Illustrator or whatever. And now I'm just like, actually get over yourself because they're cool.
And that's interesting because I think there is a little bit of a difference between being an expert in a field or actually knowing your shit and being a snob for the sake of being a snob, because you can be an expert and be critical but without pretending that you're better because you're an expert.
Exactly. So this is where taste and snobbery differentiate. So having a refined taste doesn't make you a snob. It's the prejudice that you put on the people that don't have the same taste as you.
Fuck yes. And that's that is huge in fashion. Oh my God.
Huge brand snobs. We know so many brand snobs. I've definitely been a brand snob in the past.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe even still now.
I think I'm like if you don't shop secondhand a little bit, at least. Yeah. I'm a bit of a snob towards that.
Yeah, because we're both very much thrift shoppers these days.
Yeah.
And
I don't feel like I'm better than anyone else, but I feel like the way that I'm thinking about shopping, you should all be thinking about shopping.
Exactly, because of the ethics behind it. And it's like, why are you putting money into these mass consumption chains?
It's like, then you have to think, well, thrift shopping isn't inclusive for everyone because maybe you can't find your size and you have to go to a certain store to get your size. And so it's like, we can't be snobby because we don't know everything.
Exactly.
Everyone fucking hates a snob. And
God.
Yes, it's so important. Like, I love that we're calling ourselves out on our snobby ways.
What are you snobby about, Liz?
I am really snobby, and my brothers told me this last night when I told them that we were going to do this topic. Yuck. I'm snobby about words that I introduce to people or phrases that I introduce to people.
What, like, shake my damn head?
Yeah, so guys, I will start using a phrase really ironically and say things like, shake my damn head, or that shit slaps, or like shorten the word literally to lich. And then naturally I use it so much because I talk a lot that our friends all start using it and it's my favorite thing. But I can't just let that happen. I have to be like, at least in my head, I brought that to the table.
like I was the one that started this shit. That's like the same as being like, I listened to this musician before everyone else listened to this musician, and therefore I have ownership over them.
Literally. And that's another thing that I was a snob about. When Lorde first got big, and I hate this, someone showed me her Love Club EP before it was like being listened to by the masses, and I was such a Lorde snob. And I think, I mean, liking indie artists and being a snob about that is one of the most common.
I think it just comes hand in hand.
No, I know, because you feel, like you said, you feel ownership that you've discovered this artist or they're my secrets.
Oh my God, like back in year 11, we were so bad with that. Same with Broods.
Oh, we were such bad snobs. And like me and Liv are massive fans of this. And look, now we're telling the masses because we're proud of this artist. We were massive fans of someone called Banks. And the one thing that I loved was that she never went mainstream, and I was like, yeah, she's still our little secret. But
honestly,
like, now if I met someone else that liked Banks, I wouldn't be like, yeah, I know her first. I'd be like, fuck yes, like, I rate her so hard.
Absolutely. Like, I think both of the way that we think about that sort of shit has definitely changed. We're very much like, I love this, you love it, let's all love it. Like,
yes, it's so much more fun to all enjoy something than to be like, yeah, I knew it first.
It is, because we know those people that actually can't get enjoyment with other people because they have to have it to themselves.
And that sucks to be around.
It sucks to be around, and it probably sucks to be.
Yeah, well, I think that stems from their own insecurities. Absolutely. And not fully knowing themselves and having to draw on outside things to get their identity. That's getting very deep.
For sure.
My last thing that I've pinpointed that I'm a snob about, and you are too, Liv, in a kind of weird way, is our intuition.
Oh,
yeah. So, like, we know other people that can't pick up on things or intuitively just, like, know whether things are good or bad or okay or think really critically about things. Mm-hmm. And we're quite aware that our intuitions are fucking mean.
Yeah.
And I think this is the one aspect where the horrible side of snobbery, and I'm really outing myself here, in terms of thinking that you're above someone comes into play. I never think that I'm above people, but I do think that my intuitions are better than others.
Yeah.
And I think I'm a self-aware snob in that respect.
Honestly, I definitely...
Do you agree?
I definitely agree. And that's why we love talking about our intuition to each other, because we feel like no one else gets it. And that is snobbery in itself, because it's like, they probably do. I'm probably just like overhyping my own intuition.
No, we totally overhype our own intuition.
That my intuition isn't as good as my intuition is telling me.
No, literally. No. And so because when I was thinking about this podcast, I was like, fuck, like, I am not a snob in the generic way. And maybe even saying that is making me a snob, because I think I'm interesting and, like, individual.
Honestly, the self-awareness just cuts.
Like, is being really self-aware snobby, because you are more aware of yourself than other people are? Or you?
I think it is if you cut it off there. Like, if you're just like, I'm really self-aware, no one else is. Have you heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect?
Yes. Tell the listeners.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know, the Dunning-Kruger effect is this sort of like psychological phenomena. It's when people who aren't that intelligent think that they're really smart because they don't have the capacity to understand that other people can be smarter than them.
The Dunning-Kruger effect is so about self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, well, you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. And when it's so dangerous to assume that other people can't see what you see.
It is. That's so interesting. Just a few other, like, common things that people are snobby about is obviously you've got coffee snobs, which is interesting because I know what I like in a coffee, and I like filter coffee, and I don't really like espresso, but that's my taste buds. I would never shit on someone for ordering a fucking flat white. Wine snobbery. Oh. Which, this is unique, because I think a bit of the whole wine snobbery thing is kind of like performance and acting and like being able to think of the best adjectives and being able to do the whole swirl it around. Has it got legs? What does it smell like? What position is my nose in the glass?
Honest to God, like, what's its body? Like, I don't even get it. Well, I mean, Luce and I have worked in wineries pretty much like our whole teenagehood.
Yeah.
And we still have no fucking clue about wine. We've grown up in probably one of the world's best wine
regions. And we've worked across multiple wineries, and we've done multiple professional tastings, as in, like, we're getting taught the tasting notes.
Yeah.
We have had the best wine training from some of the best, like, wineries, especially in our region. And me and Liv still drink $8 wine and would never look down on anyone else for doing so.
It was actually really funny. I went to a BYO with my friend, and he bought two different bottles of rosé. One was expensive, one was cheap. And I made him blindfold himself, and I was like, okay, which one's the expensive one? And then he got it wrong, and I was just like, sorry, but this is... like, fucking love him. But sorry, but this is what we all do. Like, we think because we've spent $40 on a bottle of wine that it's going to be fucking fantastic. And is that really the case?
No. And, like, is it just, I mean, he probably bought those two. One of them's like, I'm keeping up my appearance of like, I can afford, or I have a good taste in wine. Yeah. And the other one is like, I need to get drunk like the rest of you, so here's the cheap one.
Exactly.
And I do really understand that some people, wine is their life, and to be honest, like, they will be able to taste a good wine from a bad wine and know the notes.
Years and years of experience, like, actually being in the grittiness of the industry, whereas Lucy and I have kind of, like, skirted around it a little bit.
We've been right in the throes of it, but just known that, look, our careers aren't here. We're probably good at other stuff instead of wine. Like, this dissecting snobbiness.
Exactly.
So, yes, there's coffee, there's wine, there's fashion, which we've touched on, there's music.
Reality TV.
Okay, this is fantastic.
Okay.
This is a great tangent.
Because I and you, we both fucking love reality TV, but we know people that shit on it.
Because they still have in their heads this opposition between highbrow, liking high culture and high society things, and lowbrow, liking things that are available to the masses.
Exactly.
I mean, that's not the perfect definition, but that's the way I kind of interpret it.
Yeah, and it's also about, like, watching the working class. If you bring it back to this classist, you know, definition of snobbery, especially in places like England where you're watching Geordie Shore, you know, like, a lot of people are just like, ooh, those people aren't worth my time.
Why are you watching that trash?
Yeah, it's drivel, it rots your brain. Like, and it's like, actually, can say some very important shit about society.
I'm sorry, I'm going to understand the workings of a human more by watching Love Island than I am going to watch an opera that I don't understand and I'm trying to keep up my appearance by going to.
I agree.
We're all part of it. Like, we like to watch reality TV because it mirrors us, but in a really, really emphasized way.
Oh, hyperbolized, for sure.
But we love it because, one, it's entertaining, obviously, and two, like, when I watched Love Island, I was feeling so confident. I was like, I can fucking say what I want, do what I want.
Yes.
Like, these people are out here just living their best lives.
We had a fucking Love Island party because we were like, we're going to invite everyone around and, like, we're going to share all of our confessions to the confession cam.
And we did. We set up a confession cam in one of the bedrooms. It was an old iPhone and it recorded all night. And then we edited it into our own episode of Love Island. Like, that is how unsnobby we are to reality TV.
We were fully immersed.
Actually, we should do a whole episode on Love Island and the way that it impacted us.
We because really should.
I would love to play some sound bites from that episode that we made.
That's actually a really good idea, guys.
Stay put for that one.
Stick around because juicy shit.
That is so juicy. So yes, Liv, I think reality TV and the way that that really shows us the highbrow, lowbrow part of snobbery.
Absolutely.
Very, very good one to bring up.
Okay, food snobbery. That is such a thing.
And this, I think, is something that really shows the parts of society that can afford to eat, quote unquote, well, and the parts that need to buy food to live.
Absolutely. It's like a physical sign of privilege. Your taste buds.
Your taste buds are. I mean, same with wine. It's a physical sign of privilege. And yeah, people that are food snobs are coming from such privilege because they've been able to have good food their entire lives.
Exactly. It would be interesting to hear from a chef or someone talk about this because maybe they'll have some counter arguments, but
yeah, I mean, we've met some really cool chefs that are all about kind of getting food from the land and using what's available, and I think that is such a good way of making food that's accessible to everyone also really fucking good and not snobby.
Exactly, because it doesn't have to be fine dining to be a fucking mean meal.
I know. Okay, Liv, I'm real interested for us to talk about why we think we're snobby and why we think maybe other people were snobby. And I think you're going to agree with what I'm about to say, but I think largely it comes from insecurity.
I definitely agree. And I think a lot of the articles I've read around researching for this agree with us there as well.
Yeah. I think if we were fully secure and, you know, at one with ourselves and who we are, then we can enjoy and consume things without telling people. You know, we can do it for ourselves and we can like it for ourselves. It's not a performance to make us feel superior.
Oh my God, absolutely. It's so intertwined with insecurity and low self-esteem because belittling something to make yourself feel better about yourself is kind of the crux of snobbery.
It's the crux of bullying.
Literally, yeah. It's humiliating something or someone to prove that you are above it. It's like to prove that you're above the shame you feel about not either not knowing something or not having something.
Mm-hmm. It definitely stems from feeling like you're missing something or maybe not knowing your identity and being jealous of people that do or needing to like push this one thing that you think makes your identity onto everyone else.
Absolutely. It's a sign of having rigid thinking. So it means that you find it really hard to think in other ways that you usually do. And I was reading that this can cause really poor judgment because you can't be critical about your own thoughts. So an example of this is the British aristocracy back in between the two world wars. The upper class citizens, they had really rigid thinking around class and around, you know, who should excel in society. That because of this, their judgment was really poor and they were supportive of Hitler's ideal.
Yeah, the whole we're above you thing. That is so interesting. And
exactly.
I think the idea of snobbery coming with rigid thinking is completely true because we've been talking about being able to think critically, and that's how you become more accepting of everyone. And that's how me and you can call out our snobbery is because we've really critically looked at ourselves, and that's how we can fight against it.
Exactly.
But people that are still so stuck in their ways,
stuck in the ways. That is the term I was about to use. That is literally rigid thinking in a phrase, because if you think about people that we call stuck in their ways, oh, you know, my racist old uncle, he's just stuck in his ways.
It's like, no, he's fucking not. He just is choosing to still think he's better than other people.
Exactly.
Snob. Not saying that snobbery is equated to racism. Liv, I know you've kind of done a bit of looking into this.
Yeah, because when I was really, you know, getting to the depths of what snobbiness is, basically being a snob is being prejudiced. And I was like, I know there is a difference between snobbery and racism. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I don't want to minimize racism. But I think sometimes snobbery is not held to like a harsh enough account.
I agree. So me and Liv were actually having a really interesting off-mic conversation about this. And we kind of came to the conclusion that, not to generalize here, but in America, racism is seen as racism.
Mm-hmm.
And in the UK, racism, like with Meghan Markle, mm-hmm. is seen as snobbery. And let's be real, everyone. When we think of snobs, we kind of think of a British kind of looking down their nose at you person. We almost think of the royals.
Oh my gosh, we absolutely do. It's really interesting because I found this article and it's titled, Meghan and Harry, the British original sin is snobbery, not racism. So basically the author, I'm not going to go into detail here because it's kind of confusing, but he was talking about how American race relations are getting confused with British race relations. And that they shouldn't be because they're really different due to how slavery
manifested in the UK.
Yeah, the difference between.
And this was like an old white guy writing this.
Oh my God, yeah, like
just to see.
Not to generalize, but you know, we all get the drift. And basically, he was saying that no, the royal family aren't racist; they're just snobby.
And no,
yeah, and it's like, well, is that any better?
That's not an excuse.
It's not an excuse.
Snobbery, one, isn't an excuse for racism. They are two different things. But two, like, why are you prouder to say you're snobby against a whole race than saying you're racist? It's the, like, you know.
Yeah, it feels like the same thing, right? And I don't know, I'm sure you could fucking write a PhD about this, but, like, so interesting.
It's really interesting.
And he was saying that Meghan Markle would have slotted in just fine into the class system if she didn't fight against it, and that's where the snobbiness came from, is the fact that she was sort of like
fighting against the system.
Oh no.
I know, it was a really, really problematic article.
I wonder if that was like written by someone in the royal family to be honest, probably.
I mean,
like,
probably.
Connections, you know.
Literally. I mean, we've all seen the interview between Harry, Meghan and Oprah, haven't we?
Exactly.
Bloody hell, that's really interesting. Snobbery, or needing to feel like you're better than someone else or your tastes are better than someone else's, obviously comes from either a lack of your own identity and needing to draw on outside things to gain your identity, or just low self-esteem and feeling like this makes you cooler than the person that you're with, or smarter, or more highbrow.
Absolutely. I know from my own life experience that when I'm feeling snobby, I'm low-key feeling a bit shit about myself.
Yeah.
And so I sort of need to be like, oh yeah, well, like, you guys listen to drum and bass.
It's like, and you need to assert your, like superiority.
Exactly,
because,
like,
you're feeling like shit.
Like, and it happens to me so much with music because I do gigs. And that's not an excuse to be like, my taste is better than everyone because I sing once a week. Like, fuck off.
Like, people can like shit and be really interested in it without being an expert in it.
Exactly.
Like, people are real big into music and they don't do gigs every week. And like,
but they probably know 10 times more than I do.
Exactly. And so this is why snobbery is such a fucked up but really pervasive thing.
Really ingrained in all of us, and I don't think any of us are exceptions. So look at your own snobbery, guys.
Please pick apart your own snobbery, and honestly, come to us and tell us what you're a snob about.
It's because been kind of cathartic, be like putting my hand up, being like,
I know,
I am a music snob.
I am a word snob and an intuition snob.
I'm an intellectual snob.
To be honest, we're like the opposite of intellectual snobs.
That's
because
true.
We are the first to say we're not experts in things because we don't want to come across as snobs. We're snobs towards people that think they are experts when
they're not.
And that actually brings me to one more point that You can be highbrow and not be a snob as much as you can be into the more lowbrow things and be a snob to exactly. the upper class.
Yeah, because there's inverse snobbery as well.
And I think that's where we nestle in between.
Yeah, right? I would say so.
But yeah, like you can be really into reality TV and be a snob to people that are going to the opera, like I said before. Yeah. Like lowbrow can be snobs to the highbrow.
Exactly.
Which is where the first definition that you read out needs a little bit of expansion, because that was mostly about like being superior in society and like looking down.
For sure, yeah, because inverse snobbery is such a thing. I think especially in New Zealand, where we really pride ourselves on like, oh, she'll be right, we're down to earth, yes. we're whatever. And then we look at people with money or people with certain like thoughts and...
Or things that have been afforded to them from childhood that other yes. people haven't had afforded to them.
Exactly.
And so we're almost like... If I can do what you're doing, but I'm from a small town in New Zealand and I went to a public school and I'm still doing as well as you're doing, like, I can yes. almost see a little bit like that.
This is a snobbery. Huge part of snobbery that we haven't touched upon is education
yeah.
snobbery. And I know in New Zealand there's quite a...
There's no private schools around us, so that's our norm and we fucking loved it and we're still doing... everything that we could have done if we went to a private school.
Which is interesting because in the UK, I think their private schools are actually called public schools, so this is all a bit confusing. But they have a major hierarchy with their universities, and so people will go to like expensive schools to get into these really prestigious universities, whereas we don't have that in New Zealand at all. So it's like people go to private schools and then we're sort of all in the same playing field.
It's like the US with the Ivy League schools yes. and like how they're not actually better. They just have more money and more hype around them. You know, like yeah. it's just wild. And then that goes into like work snobs and then class snobs, because if you go to an Ivy League, you're going to get the best job and then you're going to get the most money. And then here we go.
Yes. And then you're fucking separated. And this is where social segregation yeah. comes from. Guys, snobbery, it's a legit thing.
Snobbery leads into so many social issues. So honestly, check your snob.
Check yourself. Is that what we should call this episode?
Check your snob. Would people click it if we called it check your snob?
I don't know. I would.
I feel like I've heavily checked my snob in this episode.
I feel like this has been a huge checking of my snob.
I mean, it's been a great ride.
It's been a journey. Snobs.
Yeah, I've kind of loved it. And yes, the word snob has lost absolutely all meaning
oh
to
my
me
god what was
point.
It called semantic
satiation.
There we go.
To be honest, it'd be funny to do a snob count and count the amount of times during this episode that we said snob, snobbery, snobbishness.
Oh my god, maybe someone can turn it into a drinking game for us.
Oh yeah, true, that'd be fun. Maybe next episode we can drink to it.
Drunk episode.
I'd love to do a drunk episode. Or would I?
Oh, I'd be scared.
We'd get anxiety and then we'd get it from the rest of the world that are listening to this.
Or maybe we can put it out, say we got anxiety, then be like, hey, listen to an anxiety yeah. episode.
All right, team. I think we might have to leave it there.
Yeah, I think my brain's about to explode.
I think we're all snobbed out. But as usual, please leave us a rating or a review. It really does help us a lot. Please come and talk to us on Instagram at ShitYouShouldCareAbout or at The Shit Show. Liv, where else can they find us?
You can find us on Facebook, Shit Show Squad, also just ShitYouShouldCareAbout on Facebook.
Yeah, you can also come to ShitYouShouldCareAbout.com. I mean, we're pretty much everywhere you need us. Yeah. So please, there is no excuse for you to not be coming and hanging out with us. Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.